I too want to join with that sentiment of wishing all of our mothers
a very happy Mother's Day. What a blessing it is to be a part of services if you are still blessed to have your mother. For those who may not be, what a blessing it is to be able to sit in a worship service. Chances are because of your mother. What a blessing, right? Mothers are. Today, not only do we honor our Heavenly Father, as we do every Lord's Day and really every day of our lives, but today especially, according to the tradition of our country, we honor our mothers. But it's more than just flowers. It's more than just cards. More than warm sentiments and hugs and kisses. Today we gather to praise and learn from the godly influence of women. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, teachers, and spiritual mothers who are throughout this church and congregation. And so while this day holds special meaning for many, it can also be complex. Why? Because some today are grieving. Some today are anxiously waiting. And some today are just remembering. But the lesson today, and the challenge with all lessons that are theme-based, Mother's Day lessons, Father's Day lessons, graduate lessons, any type of theme lesson like that, there's always a challenge to reach everyone. But I really believe that today's lesson will. I think it's very practical. I guess in all my years now, I've preached a lot of Mother's Day Sundays. And every year you try to come up with something different. Well, I can tell you today that it may not reinvent the wheel. But I think if we will apply these lessons to our lives, whether we are mothers, future mothers, grandmothers, or we are just teachers, aunts, or we are men, I believe that this lesson will be very applicable for all. But in order to do it, I want to talk about some things, and they will be based around mothers. It will be based from a mother's perspective, but I believe it's very applicable, and I believe there's a lot that we can learn. Number one, I want to talk with you today about the power of a mother's faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that was read to us earlier, Paul writes to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Paul loved Timothy. And I think it's apparent from his writings how much he loved Timothy. Timothy did not appear to have a father in the picture, right? If he did have a father in the picture, he certainly wasn't that great of a spiritual influence on him. I believe Paul filled that role. In fact, I think he felt like he was more of an adopted father-type figure to Timothy than more than anything because he had led Timothy to Jesus Christ. But Paul recognized it wasn't his teachings that got Timothy where he was. He recognized it wasn't his father's teachings that got Timothy to where it was. He recognized it was the faith of his grandmother and the faith of his mother. What a powerful lesson that is, not only in 2025, but think about then, when women like that did not get praise like they deserved. When women did not have the rights that other men and such did. Paul is praising the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother. The Greek word that is used there, talking about how it dwelt first in your mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, the Greek word is anoikeo. That word literally means to live in, dwell, or I like this one, take up residence. The faith that Timothy has, remember Paul said, it was first in your grandmother and your mother, and I also trust that it is in you. Right? He knew it was in him. That faith that Timothy had, he said, it first took up residence in your grandmother and your mother. My son, along with other children that are graduating high school in here, will be going on to college. Whether it's a Christian college, whether it is a public college, whether it is a technical college, whatever it may be, we trust, right, that they are ready. We trust that they have their own faith. Now listen, I want my son and I want these other teenagers to have their own faith, but because of the faith that I know that their parents have, I want them to have that faith too, right? It first dwelt in mother. It first dwelt in grandmother. That faith that you have today, can you say that about yourself? I'm sure you can. Now listen, I understand that there are those in this room that probably your parents may not have taught you a lot about Jesus, and somewhere along the way, somebody loved you enough to help you. But I know in my situation, I can go back generations, and I think about how grateful I am today that that faith dwelt in my grandmother, that it dwelt in my mother, and today can dwell in me. You know what that means? It took up residence. What's living in you today? Why are you the way you are today? Where is your faith today? Is it residing in your heart? Is it residing in your soul? Faith wasn't just something that these women claimed. It dwelt, it lived, it took up residence in him, in them. You see, I love youth ministry. I'm thankful for the time I was able to be blessed to live in youth ministry. In fact, I lived, Michelle and I were in youth ministry here at Azalea City for a long time, and in large part, we did not have children at that time. And so many of the children who are grown-ups with children today were like our adopted children. I love Taylor. I love Katie. I love Justin. I love Ashley. I love those who I've been able to work with in youth ministry. But something I need to say that is really important, youth ministry must start at home. We cannot blame the youth minister and the youth minister's wife. Listen, they're imperfect people doing the best they can. We cannot blame them, can we, for the failure of us developing our faith in our children. Faith must be modeled probably even more than it's taught. You see, it was real important to me as a father, just like it was real important to Michelle as a mother, to not just tell our children to do this, we must show our children how to do this. It was real important to me to not just tell my children, you go in your room and pray. It was real important for me to show my children how to pray, how to read my Bible, how to avoid the world, how to try to live a godly life. I think about Timothy. What did Timothy do? He went everywhere preaching Jesus Christ. That was his mission. That was his job. He was an evangelist. And so he would go to congregation and help establish congregation, help strengthen congregation. And he did that because it was modeled after his grandmother and mother. Timothy's faith was built on that daily example. Do I believe they taught him? Yes, I believe they taught him. But I believe they showed him about prayer. They showed him about forgiveness. They showed him the importance of worship. So whether we are a mother today, a father today, a grandparent, a mentor, our faith, do not miss this. No matter who we are, mother, father, grandparent, mentor, our faith is helping mold and build someone else's faith. People are watching us. You know that? They are watching us every day. And it's so important that we are striving to direct them in the right way, in the proper way. And we need to live that ourselves. Our example is literally laying bricks spiritually in someone else's foundation. That's what we are. Yes, it's a spiritual analogy. We're laying bricks, but we're literally doing that. We're helping others build. We're helping others grow. And that's a lot of responsibility. You know, I know I share the sentiment of everybody else, but my mama's perfect. Obviously, she's not. But in my mind, she is. You all could say the same about yours, right? Why? Because it was so important to me. I can stand before you today and preach Christ and Him crucified because of the foundation my mother laid in me. See, those were bricks. Mama, how do I do this? Pray about it. Mama, how do I do this? You got to read your Bible. Mama, how do I do this? We got to be at work. Those were bricks that was building my spiritual foundation. And whoever we are right now in someone else's life, we're doing that. Maybe that wakes us up today. Maybe that scares us a little bit. Maybe it motivates us. Proverbs 31, Austin did such a great job reading that to us. Verses 25 through 28, strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. This morning, for instance, in my Bible class, and I won't say any names, so I will not draw any embarrassing attention to them if they don't want it. But I will say there are a lot of us men that speak up. There's a lot of wisdom in my Bible class. A lot of discussion in my Bible class, and I'm so thankful for it. It's my Bible class. I'm just the one who facilitates it. It's our Bible class, right? But there's a lot of wisdom from the men. But no offense to any of us men, when those women speak up in there, the wisdom is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. I am blown away. And truth be told, I could sit and listen to that wisdom all the time. And that's what this proverb writer is saying here, right? When she opens her mouth, it's with wisdom. The kind of honor of Eunice and Lois, that kind of honor is earned over time. The honor we give them. And the reason, though, it was earned is because women like that, mentors like that, grandparents like that, mothers like that, they're consistent. One thing that you can count on today, if your mother had an impact on your faith, is consistency. There was consistent love, consistent strength, and consistent Christ-like character. Oh, there's great power in a mother's faith. There's great power in the wisdom they give us. The second thing I want us to talk about this morning is this: the influence of a mother's words. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, the proverb writer writes, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." I like for, you know, my children, and I'm sure you like men for your children to underline that in their Bibles, right? Hear, my son, your father's instructions. But listen to the last part of this. And forsake not your mother's teachings. There is power in a mother's voice. That mother's voice helps shape, helps instruct, helps comfort, and helps correct. The Lord entrusted the voice of a mother with a sacred role. There are so many things that I could probably embarrass my mother with today and tell great stories on her. But you know, there were so many times in my life when I didn't know what to do and where to go. And you know, and she would say so many times, well, just pray about it. Pray about it. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, that's kind of the chintzy way out, Mom. You know, I need something deeper than that. But what was the impact of that? There's so much wisdom in it. You know, when we tell people today, hey, I'm going to pray for you, but I feel like there's something more I could do. And I get why we say that, but folks, the greatest thing we can do is pray for them. You see, there's so much wisdom in prayer. There's so much wisdom in understanding that when I take my requests before the Lord, He's going to hear my prayer, and He's going to answer them in the way He knows best. You see, mothers teach children, even from an early age, that Jesus loves you. That Jesus loves the little children. You know, I know that because so many of you mamas have sat with your babies and sang those songs. You sat there and you've cried over that baby, and you've thought over that baby, and you've prayed over that baby. And those babies from an early age, when all they can think about is my mama's going to rock me, and my mama's going to feed me, and my mama's going to change me, or I'm going to cry about it, they're hearing the wisdom of a godly mother. Words can shape and mold a life. Jesus Christ Himself learned and grew under the voice of His mother. Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. Words from mothers and women in the church, they plant seeds that grow years, sometimes years later. Paul told Titus in Titus 2, 3, and 5, listen to this. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be reviled. Some women in here, again, when I'm talking to this lesson, yes, I'm talking about mothers. Yes, I'm talking about grandmothers, but I'm talking about aunts. I'm talking about mentors. I'm talking about those who are in a female role that have an influence on somebody that we already established. There may be some of you that meet that criteria that you think you have done your duty. But you know what we're blessed with here at Azalea City? A lot of young families. And I'm so thankful for that, by the way, because all these babies that are coming here and all these young families that are coming here, that is a lot of future church, right? That is a lot of future growth. But I want you to understand that no matter what role we all, what age we are in life, we all have a role. And And you older women that are in that role, or more mature women that are in that role, please don't quit. Please don't stop what you're doing. These younger generations need us. They need you. Now listen. We also need to do it with wisdom. Please don't go up to a younger mother and say, "Honey, you're doing a terrible job. I got it all figured out, and your children are struggling like crazy," okay? Over the years, I've had situations where some have made the, try to always choose my words carefully, some have come up and said, "Did you that young person that's in your youth group, did you see what they had on today? You need to tell them about modesty." And listen, what I want to say is, do you know what I'm teaching in my class? Because you've never been in there? But anyhow, the point is, I also said, how about this? Could you go to that young person as an older woman and say, "Honey, I love you. Honey, let me put my arm around you. Honey, let me tell you how much it means to me that despite your parents being in bed, you're at this church." You see, those are the type, that's the type power influence we need. If we're going to be those that are kind of grouchy about it and, "Oh, let's just stop." But do you understand it's biblical? It's biblical. That's what Paul's saying. There's influence in your words. There's influence in the way you mold. It's more than homemaking. It's kingdom making. So let's be a church where spiritual motherhood thrives. Where older women mentor younger women. And where everyone encourages each other in the Lord. Thirdly, this morning, I want us to think about the strength of a mother's sacrifice. John 19, 25 through 27. Have you thought of it from this perspective? But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, that would be John, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her, that's Mary, to his own home. At the foot of the cross stood Mary, her son, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, is on the cross, struggling, suffering, bleeding, in misery, just to get a single breath. But yet there she was, standing at the foot of the cross. Jesus could have had a million things, and I'm sure He did, on His mind at that moment. But He thought of His mother. Even in agony, Jesus made sure His mother would be cared for. Why would He honor that way? Because as He is sacrificing Himself for the entire world, He can only think of the sacrifice His mother had made for Him. Mothers are the most sacrificial people on this planet. The unseen sacrifices of a mother are those late nights when they are so concerned for their family that they make no big deal about it. They go and they pray over it. They worry over it. They're anxious over it. They fill those prayers with a lot of tears. They labor so much, not for praise. Listen, she would absolutely be upset with me, but if I told you how great of a mother my wife is, You would say, well, you're supposed to say that. But when I started talking to you about how she gets up every morning at 4:15 to make sure everything is, I can't. I'll be in trouble and I'll be crying. But there's so many sacrifices a mother makes that you got to think Mary made so many sacrifices for her son. So much of a mother's love is unnoticed by the world. It's probably even unnoticed by their own family. Instead of it being something we're thankful for, we become expectant of it. And we all need to resolve to be better with that. But if it's not noticed by the family, if it's not noticed by the world, ladies, let me promise you, it is noticed by God. Because what women have for their loved ones is Christ-like love. The sacrifice of a godly mother echoes the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. It's selfless. It's redemptive. It's powerful. No matter what our role is this morning, are we willing to love others that way? Do we have that sacrificial love in us? Do we love others the way Christ loves us? The final thing I want to talk with you about this morning is this: the legacy of a godly woman. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. Let's read together verses 16 and 17. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Then turn over to Acts chapter 16. Beginning in verse 14. "One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Two ladies throughout the Bible. The first one we read from is Ruth. Ruth was not yet at that time a mother. In fact, she had left her own mother. She had left her own father and she had been clung to her husband. But her husband has now died. Her brother-in-law has now died. Her father-in-law has now died. And she is left with her mother-in-law, Naomi. That's who she makes that statement about. Ruth, at that occasion, she chose faithfulness. She chose love. Again, those words to Naomi, "Your people will be my people, your God my God." You know what that led her to become? Ruth became part of the lineage of Jesus Himself. Talk about a legacy. And then there's Lydia. Again, she was a seller of purple. Probably meant that she encountered a lot of people that maybe had wealth. Purple being a very royal type dye and color. But when Lydia obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, she opened her home. She became hospitable. She had opened her heart to the Lord, and now she opened her home. In fact, she became the first convert to Jesus Christ in Europe. You recall that Lydia's story is one where she left a legacy. What we're talking about this morning is this. There's influence that will last far beyond us. Our legacy doesn't depend on biology. Okay? Our legacy doesn't depend on biology. Ruth had no blood to Naomi. Our legacy depends on our faithfulness to God Almighty. Every woman who walks with Jesus leaves footprints for others to follow. In this congregation, there are so many amazing women. There are women that will go and do so many things that so many others will not do or do not feel comfortable doing. There are women that not only look out for their own household, but they are baking food every single week to help others have meals. There are women that are doing the best they can to stay afloat, to make sure that their children get to Bible class and worship. You may not hear a word of the sermon, but you have your children on the ark. There are women who are here who you sit beside your husband, you sit beside your son, who serve as deacons and elders and ministry leaders and leaders in the church. There's so much legacy in this room. Bo's words in his card said that he was so proud to be raised in this congregation. I want you to know, church, that his father is also so proud to be raised in this congregation. For those of you who may be visiting with us today, this is not just my church family where I happen to be the minister and I happen to serve as an elder. This is my home. There are women in this congregation who I can go up to and say, "Happy Mother's Day because you have been like a mother to me. That type of legacy is the type of legacy that so many outside these walls want to leave, but they don't know how. That's why it's so important to love those who are lost, to teach those who may not look like us, who may not act like us, who may not react like us. There's a world out there of mamas, of grandmothers, of aunts, of others. They want to leave a legacy. A legacy like the Azalea City women are leaving. May we all strive to be that type of people. To be that type of influence. To be that type of sacrifice. To have that kind of faith. That we can help lead others to leave a legacy for Jesus Christ as well. Yes, church, today we should rise up and bless the mothers and women who have helped get us to where we are today in our lives. We should also walk in the legacy of faith that's been passed down to us from the Loises and Eunices to the women who prayed over us, taught our Bible classes, wiped our tears. So I want to challenge us all. Don't just let it be today. Spend some time thinking about those type people in your life. And if they're still alive, call them. Visit them. Message them. And thank them for their faith and influence that they've given you. But then, may we all step into our own spiritual role so that we can build a legacy that will last for a lifetime. The love of a godly mother points us to the love of God Himself. A love that is patient, a love that is kind, a love that is long-suffering, and a love that is sacrificial. Maybe today you're here and you don't have anyone in your family like that. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is inviting you into His family today. He's inviting you into His family, which would be a part of this forever family. If you will believe, you will repent, and you will be immersed in water for the remission of your sins and be raised to walk in the newness of life, He will add you to the church. You'll identify with the Azalea City congregation. And in this congregation and in Jesus Christ, you will have a family. You will have a family that loves you, a family that will help raise you, and a family that will be very patient for you when you make a lot of mistakes. If you are here today, maybe you came because you just wanted to honor your mother. Maybe you're here today because you remembered the teachings of your mother and you thought, hey, today's the day I should show up because I don't have her anymore. She's in that great cloud of witnesses rooting me on. So I came today, but I've drifted from the faith. Today, there's not a greater thing you can do. To honor your mother, yes, but to save your soul than to walk this aisle and come back home. Jesus Christ, He gave the invitation. Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That opportunity is offered right now as together we stand and sing.